Volume 48, Number 5 of the Friend Magazine for May 2018. Contents. Conference is for me. Message from the Prophet. Conference News. Conference Notes. General Authority Chart. Show and Tell Conference Edition. Stories and Features. A True Prophet of God. Family Night Fun. Book of Mormon Reading Club. Shine Your Light. Cards and Caring. Junior Helping Hands. Finding Floppy. The Silver Dollar. The Present Problem. Matt and Mandy. Stop and Flip. For Older Kids. For Older Kids. Mormon Yankees, Part 2, One Shot at a Time. Food and Fun. What's on Your Mind? The Spirit of Eliza. Bullfight. Music. Shine On. Things to Make and Do. Fun Stuff. Jacob's Sons. Family History Quest. Old Testament Heroes. Joseph. Lucy Leads the Way. Fun Stuff. Find It. Friend Junior. For Parents of Little Ones. I Love You More. Helping on the Farm. Everybody is Beautiful. Scripture Stories. Joseph Forgives His Brothers. Coloring Page. Best Buddies. End of Contents. Read by Dwayne Case.
Friends by Mail. Shine Your Light. Thanks for sending in your stars. Keep them coming. Turn to page 39 to see how. Junior Relief Society. When I read the story, Junior Relief Society, March 2017, about my great-great-great-grandma, Lorena, I wanted to start my own Junior Relief Society. My cousins and I made a quilt together to donate to a hospital. Madeline Y. in the pink striped shirt, H5, Utah, USA.
Scripture Challenge. We finished the Church History Reading Challenge, January 2017. We loved reading the scriptures and coloring in the spaces. Wyatt, Jake, and Isla W., ages 8, 6, and 3, Alberta, Canada.
Dear friends, isn't it fun to think that people all around the world were listening to General Conference last month? The first few pages of this magazine will help you remember some of the talks and stories you heard. Now, it's your turn. Send us a letter or a picture of what you liked most. You are great, the friend. Turn to page 39 to see how to write to us.
End of Friends by Mail, read by Chloe and Margot Patello and Wes Nelson. A Conference Message from the Prophet. How You Can Know What's True, by President Russell M. Nelson. What do you feel an urgent need to know or understand? Urgent means very important or right now. Follow the example of the Prophet Joseph Smith. Find a quiet place. Have a humble attitude before God. Turn to your Heavenly Father for answers and for comfort. Pray in the name of Jesus Christ about your concerns, your fears, and the longings of your heart. Longings means what you want very much. And listen. Write the thoughts that come to your mind. Follow through with actions you are prompted to take. Prompted means inspired by the Holy Ghost. You can receive your own testimony that the Book of Mormon is the Word of God, that Joseph Smith is a prophet, and that this is the Lord's Church. No matter what others may say or do, no one can ever take away a testimony in your heart and mind about what is true. Adapted from Revelation for the Church, Revelation for Our Lives, Ensign May 2018, pages 93 through 96. Cut out this inspiring bookmark. Does God really want to speak to you? Yes, President Russell M. Nelson. End of A Conference Message from the Prophet, How You Can Know What's True, by President Russell M. Nelson. Read by Wes Nelson.
Conference News. 7 new temples. President Nelson announced 7 new temples. Fill in the blanks on page 3 to find out where they will be. Check your answers below. Primary News. Sister Bonnie H. Corden was released from the primary general presidency because she is the new Young Women General President. The new first counselor in the primary general presidency is Sister Lisa L. Harkness. She served a mission in Louisiana, USA, where she taught people the gospel in Spanish. She likes spending time with her family, golfing, hiking, and doing family history. Did you know? How many languages was conference translated into? A. 59, B. 72, C. 96. Conference quotes. Having prophets is a sign of God's love for His children. Elder Ulysses Suarez of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. With love as the motivation, miracles will happen. Sister Jean B. Bingham, Relief Society General President. As our primary children sing, "Follow the Prophet, He Knows the Way." Elder Garrett W. Gong of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Raising our hands. Amelia and Pierce C., ages 3 and 5, Virginia, USA, stood and raised their hands to sustain our new prophet, President Russell M. Nelson. The Saturday morning session was called a solemn assembly. Everyone in the church, starting with the first presidency, got to sustain our leaders. 2 new apostles were sustained, Elder Garrett W. Gong and Elder Ulysses Suarez. Learn more about them on pages 24 and 25. End of Conference News, read by Eden Reinwand.
Conference Notes. Closer to Jesus. President Eyring remembers a sacrament meeting when he was young. They sang, "Abide with me, 'tis eventide," hymns 165. Even though he had heard the words of that song before, he felt something special that night. He felt closer to the Savior. A memory of the Holy Ghost touching our hearts is the most precious thing we can have. Write down what this teaches you. Small and simple things. President Oakes used the example of a growing root cracking the sidewalk to teach that little choices can make a big difference over time. We will grow stronger as we keep doing simple things like daily scripture study and prayer. In the same way, small bad choices can hurt us over time. We should repent before we take the sacrament each week. Write down what this teaches you. Our journey home. Sister Aburto once saw a big group of butterflies. She learned that every year they fly thousands of miles from Mexico to Canada, and then back. They do this one tiny wing flap at a time. Like the butterflies, we are on a journey back to our heavenly home. We need to help each other return to Heavenly Father safely. Write down what this teaches you. Jesus loves you. Bishop Cosay asked us to imagine what it would be like if Jesus visited our ward or branch. "I wouldn't be surprised if he visited the primary children first," he said. He would express his love to them, tell them stories, congratulate them on their drawings, and testify of his Father in heaven. Jesus loves you. Write down what this teaches you. End of Conference Notes. Read by Enzo Patello.
Show and Tell Conference. It was fun to find out who the new apostles are. I like standing up with everyone to sustain our new prophet. Maddie W., age 9, Ohio, USA.
During conference, I feel something very strong in my heart. It is the Holy Spirit. Andre, age 6, Sao Paulo, Brazil.
I like Sister Aburto's talk about butterflies and how it's like the traveling back to heaven. Annie P., age 6, Leinster, Ireland.
Even though it's hard for me to sit still, I love to hear the prophet speak. Talmadge R., age 6, Georgia, USA.
The Mukotone family, Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, watched some of conference on a cell phone. Because of the time difference between Utah and Tanzania, they usually watch the entire conference a week later at church.
My favorite part about conference was when Elder Gong talked about how he used to put his kids to bed and sing his funny song. Nate H., age 9, Alberta, Canada.
Sustaining a prophet in General Conference is such an opportunity and privilege. No matter where you are, it is still a privilege. Christina Kay, age 10, New South Wales, Australia.
Primary children in Maharashtra, India, are excited a temple will be built in their country. Jason S., age 10, said, "It is very precious to have a house of God. Now, going to the temple will be much easier." Joel S., age 8, said, "I have never seen a temple. I want to live close to the temple so I can see it every day." Abel A., age 8, said, "He and his family prayed for a temple to be built in India. They want to visit the temple every holiday."
I love General Conference. Everyone is always happy and smiling. Makes me happy too. Serenity V., age 8, Eastern Cape, South Africa.
Jared D., age 11, Idaho, USA, and Lucy B., age 11, New Mexico, USA, both built temples while listening to General Conference. Other contributors to Show and Tell: Emma S., age 7, Illinois, USA. Elder Holland, by Isaac M., age 11, Virginia, USA. India L., age 8, California, USA. AVG, age 10, Utah, USA. End of Show and Tell Conference, read by Enzo and Chloe Patello.
Seeing God's Prophet, by Sherilee Bills Hardy, based on a true story. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. John chapter 20, verse 29.
"But Mom, I really want to go,"
Nora begged again, wrapping her arms around Mom's waist.
"Please."
Smiling, Mom set down her hairbrush and gave Nora a hug.
"I'm sorry, sweetheart, but I can't take you with me."
Nora's shoulders slumped. Mom was going to the tabernacle on Temple Square to sing in the choir for General Conference. She would sit in front of the tall organ pipes in the same seats the tabernacle choir usually sat in. And, best of all, she would see the prophet. There was only one problem. Nora couldn't go.
"Remember, we can watch conference together next time," Mom said.
"But you won't be in the choir then. We'll just watch it at home. And I still won't get to see the prof in person."
Mom looked at Nora gently.
"Is that what you want the most? To see the prophet?"
Nora nodded. Sister Thompson once told Nora's primary class about meeting the prophet. When he shook her hand, she felt something special. She felt for sure that he truly was a servant of God. Nora liked to imagine what it would be like to be in the same room as the prophet, not just see his face on a screen. But now it seemed like Nora's wish wouldn't come true. Mom gathered Nora into a hug. Then she pulled a Bible off the bookshelf.
"I'm going to tell you a story."
Nora frowned. She didn't want to hear a story. She wanted to see the prophet. But she curled up next to Mom and listened anyway.
"After Jesus was resurrected, he visited his apostles. They saw him. They touched the wounds in his hands and feet, and they knew that he was truly resurrected."
Nora thought about how amazing it would be to see Jesus.
"But one apostle was missing when Jesus came. His name was Thomas. When the other apostles told Thomas about Jesus' visit, he said he wouldn't believe them unless he saw Jesus himself."
Mom turned to the story in the Bible.
"Jesus did appear to the apostles again, and Thomas was able to see Jesus. Here, why don't you read what Jesus said to Thomas?"
Nora read the verse Mom pointed to.
"Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed."
John chapter 20, verse 29.
"What do you think Jesus was trying to teach?"
Nora looked at the verse again.
"That we can believe in something even without seeing it?"
Mom smiled.
That's right. I've never shaken the prophet's hand, and I've never seen him in person before. But the Holy Ghost has told me that he really is a prophet of God. You can ask Heavenly Father in prayer, and the Holy Ghost will tell you that he really is God's prophet.
Mom hugged Nora again. Nora had a warm feeling in her heart. Maybe this was the beginning of her very own testimony. The author lives in Alberta, Canada.
Sidebar. We have a living prophet on the face of the earth. He knows our challenges and fears. He has inspired answers. Elder Dieter F. Uchtdorf of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. The Global Church, blessed by the voice of the prophets. Ensign, November 2002, page 12.
End of the story, Seeing God's Prophet, read by Kristen Hawkins, Margot Patello, Kara McClellan, and Dwayne Case.
Family Night Fun. Here's an idea for family home evening. What other ideas can you come up with? Learning about our leaders. Use our prophets and apostles today to learn about our leaders, including our new prophet and apostles. Step 1. Cut out the pictures on page 5. Step 2. Turn to page 24 and match the pictures with the names and facts about each leader. Tape the picture above the name so you can flip the picture up. Step 3. Set the chart on the floor and take turns tossing a button or coin onto the chart. Step 4. When the button lands on a picture, lift it up and read about that leader. Fruity Feast. One way to know Jesus without seeing him is to feast on his words. That means to really learn and love what he taught. You can feast on this tasty snack, too. Be sure to get an adult's help. You'll need 1 cup cream cheese softened, 1 cup plain yogurt, 1/4 cup sugar, 1/2 teaspoon vanilla, 4 to 5 cups fruit, like chopped apples, grapes, or berries. Step 1. In a large bowl, use a beater to mix together the cream cheese, yogurt, sugar, and vanilla. Step 2. Stir in the fruit and enjoy! More ideas. Do this month's Family History Quest, page 27. Read about Brady, page 14, and make cards to share with others. Is there a topic you would like to learn about with your family? Go to lessonhelps.les.org to find stories, activities, and media. End of this month's Family Night Fun. Read by Sky Tullis. Shine Your Light, Cards and Caring, from an interview with Sharon Goodrich.
Hi, my name is Brady. I live in California, USA. I shine my light by helping other kids. Wanting to help. My friend Ryder wanted to earn money to buy toys for children who need extra love and help. I wanted to do something to help too. I decided to make cards. I could sell them to friends, neighbors, and even people I didn't know. Making cards. My whole family helped me with the cards. My mom has cancer, but she still helped a lot. My brothers helped make new designs. My favorite cards had ghosts on them for Halloween. Helping other kids. With the help of my family and friends, I raised a lot of money. I gave most of it to help foster kids. Then I heard about some refugees. They had to leave their countries to find safety. My family and I bought art supplies, water bottles, balls, and other things for them. Feeling thankful. We got to meet some of the refugee children. They showed us on a map where they were from. Many even had to leave their families. It made me feel thankful for my blessings.
How can you shine?
Share your toys. Give clothes or bedding to a homeless shelter. Make friends with someone new in your class or neighborhood. Send us a star. Jesus asked us to shine our light. Let your light so shine before men. How do you let your light shine? Send us a star with your story, photo, and permission. See page 39.
End of the article, Cards and Caring, read by Miles and Daniel McClellan.
Old Testament heroes. Joseph forgave. When Joseph was young, his father gave him a colorful coat. His older brothers were jealous. They sold him to be a slave in Egypt. Joseph went through many hard times, but he stayed faithful, and God blessed him. Once, while he was in prison, Joseph helped the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Because of that, Joseph was put in charge of all the food in Egypt. A famine came to the land. Joseph's brothers came to Egypt to find food. They didn't recognize Joseph. Joseph decided to tell his brothers who he was. He chose to forgive and help them. Read about Joseph in Genesis chapter 37 through 45. Joseph forgave, and I can forgive too. Watch chapters 12 through 14 of the Old Testament stories at scripturestories.lds.org. Pray for help forgiving someone who hurt you. Ask Heavenly Father to forgive you for a wrong choice you made. I can practice forgiving by print more cards at otfriend2018.lds.org. Fun picture of Joseph and his amazing colorful coat, drawn by Porter G., age 10, Utah, USA. End of the article, Old Testament Heroes, read by Shauna Thompson. Finding Floppy by Tara Onvik, based on a true story. Isabel walks into Sam's room and sees that he looks very sad.
Hey, Sam. What's wrong?
I can't find Floppy, my elephant, from Great Aunt Alice.
I'll help you look.
After looking for a while,
we'll never find him.
Isabel has a great idea.
Let's say a prayer for help.
Heavenly Father, please help us find Floppy.
Shortly after their prayer, Isabel thinks to look behind the window curtain.
Sam, look!
You found him!
Let's say a prayer to say thank you.
Sam then says a prayer of thanks.
Heavenly Father, thank you for helping me find Floppy.
Now there's one more thing we should do. Can I play too?
Heavenly Father cares about what we care about. We can pray to him anytime, anywhere, about anything.
End of the comic Finding Floppy. Read by Shauna Thompson and Maya and Gabriel Reinwand.
The Silver Dollar by Janine Hampson, based on a true story. Behold, this is the tithing and the sacrifice which I, the Lord, require at their hands. Doctrine and Covenants, section 97, verse 12. The big, shiny coin sparkled in the sunlight. Alvin twisted the coin this way and that, just to see the way the sun shone off it. A real silver dollar! Alvin had worked almost the whole day at his neighbor's farm to earn that coin. His overalls were dirty, and he was hot and sweaty. But it was worth it. He couldn't wait to show Mother his coin. He was going to add it to his box of important stuff. The creaky screen door slammed shut behind him as he ran inside. He found Mother sitting in the rocking chair, folding a pile of clothes from the clothesline.
Look what Mr. Jackson gave me for working for him today.
He held up the big coin for her to see.
A whole silver dollar.
Oh, that's wonderful, Alvin. You must have worked hard.
I sure did. I'm going to keep this dollar forever.
He rubbed the coin with his shirt to get off any smudges.
Well, make sure you pay your tithing on what you earned.
She added another shirt to the stack.
That might mean you have to get smaller coins in exchange for your dollar.
Alvin looked down at his beautiful coin. He didn't want a bunch of little coins instead of his first silver dollar.
But I just want to keep it.
Tears pricked his eyes, and he ran out of the kitchen and down the porch steps. He stomped through the high grass.
I don't have to pay tithing,
he muttered to himself. He picked up a stick and swung it back and forth across the tall, dry weeds. Suddenly, Alvin stopped in his tracks. He knew tithing was important. He wanted to give tithing, but how? He didn't have any other coins. All he had was his one silver dollar. How could he pay the 10 cents for his tithing? Alvin sighed. He would just have to give up his coin. It was the right thing to do. Alvin kept walking. Soon he heard talking and singing coming from near the bank of the river. He put up his hand to block his eyes from the setting sun. A family was camped by the river. He had met them before. Sometimes they traded things with his mother. He looked closer. The dad and grandpa had their fishing poles out. Then Alvin had an idea. He took his stick and started digging in the wet dirt along the riverbank. He dug up 11 worms and walked toward the camp by the river. The men smiled and waved at Alvin.
Hi, do you need any more worms?
We sure do, said the grandpa.
He pulled his empty fishing hook out of the water.
We just ran out.
Alvin held out the 11 squirming worms.
Would you like some?
How much?
Asked the dad. He reached in his pocket to get some coins.
Just a penny each.
Well, that's a bargain.
The man counted out 11 pennies.
You stopped by just in time for us to catch our dinner.
Thank you,
said Alvin as he collected his pennies.
Good luck with the fish.
Alvin hurried back home and showed Mother his coins.
Now I have enough money to pay my tithing for my silver dollar and for the money I earned for selling the worms.
Alvin was grateful he got to keep his coin, but he was also proud of himself for deciding to pay his tithing, no matter what. The author lives in Utah, USA.
Sidebar. Tithing helps build temples and churches and gives us blessings. At tithing settlement, your bishop asks if you are a full tithe payer and have paid all of your tithing. Tithing is 10% of what you earn, and if you pay your tithing, it will make you feel good. London H., age 9, Arizona, USA.
End of the story, The Silver Dollar. Read by Van Farnworth, Miles McClellan, Rena and Wes Nelson, Dwayne Case, and Shannon Nelson.
A True Story Written by You. Junior Helping Hands. By Autumn C., age 8, Georgia, USA. When Hurricane Irma came through my town in Georgia, it did some damage. We were out of school for 2 days, and we had no power. Then we started hearing about the destruction in Florida. So many homes were flooded and damaged by winds. Families lost many of their belongings. My family started making plans to go down with the Mormon Helping Hands teams for the weekend relief efforts. I was sad that I wasn't old enough to go help. Then, a teacher at my elementary school heard that my siblings were going down to help. She offered to send school supplies. I was so excited when I heard about this, because now I had a way to serve. I started collecting backpacks. With the help of my primary friends, we collected and put together 63 backpacks. We filled them with school supplies to give to the children impacted by the hurricane. I learned that you are never too young to serve. If you have a desire to help others, Heavenly Father will provide a way. End of the story, Junior Helping Hands, read by Margot Patello. Fun stuff? Find it. These kids are having lots of fun playing outside together. We're promised that when we live the word of wisdom, we can run and not be weary. Doctrine and Covenants, section 89, verse 20. Find the hidden objects. Can you also find 10 basketballs? Then go to page 32 to read about a basketball team who kept the word of wisdom. End of Fun Stuff, Find It. Read by Shannon Nelson.
Our prophets and apostles today. Jesus Christ leads the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints through prophets and apostles. Read about them below. Then cut out the pictures on page 5 and tape them in place on the chart.
put tape at the top of each picture so you can still read the facts underneath. President Dallin H. Oaks, first counselor in the first presidency. Cleaned a radio repair shop at his first job, became a lawyer and Utah Supreme Court judge, was president of BYU. President Russell M. Nelson, 17th president of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, was a heart surgeon, studied several languages including Mandarin, has 10 children, 9 girls, and 1 boy. President Henry B. Eyring, second counselor in the first presidency. Played basketball in high school, learned physics from his father on their family chalkboard, was president of Ricks College, now BYU, Idaho. President M. Russell Ballard, acting president of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, was nicknamed the Bishop in college because of his high standards. Owned a car dealership, served as a missionary in England and as mission president in Toronto, Canada. Elder Jeffrey R. Holland of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles was a mission companion with Elder Cook in England, worked for the church education system, was president of BYU. Elder Dieter F. Uchtdorf of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles was a refugee twice as a child, was an airplane captain, enjoys skiing with his children and grandchildren. Elder David A. Bednar of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles was a quarterback on his high school football team. After serving a mission in Germany, baptized his father, a member of the church. Was president of Ricks College when it became BYU, Idaho. Elder Quinton L. Cook of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles gained a testimony after studying scriptures and praying with his older brother, saw his future wife at a junior high talent show, served as a church leader in the Philippines and Pacific Islands. Elder D. Todd Christofferson of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles baked homemade bread for his family growing up, participated in the Hill Cumorah pageant as a teenager, worked as a lawyer before being called as an apostle. Elder Neil L. Anderson of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles grew up on a dairy farm in Idaho, USA, served as a missionary and mission president in France, speaks French, Portuguese, Spanish, and English. Elder Ronald A. Rasband of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles was mission president in New York City, USA. His motto is, "It's people that matter most." Dedicated the first LDS church building in the Czech Republic. Elder Gary E. Stevenson of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles served as a missionary and mission president in Japan. Started a business manufacturing and selling exercise equipment. Served as bishop over the whole church. Elder Dale G. Renland of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. His middle name, Gunnar, means brave soldier. Moved to Sweden as a teenager. Worked as a heart doctor. Elder Garrett W. Gong of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Likes animals, including penguins. Loves meeting people in every country. Has family history records back to First Dragon Gong in 837 A.D. Elder Ulysses Suarez of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles is from Brazil and served as a missionary there and mission president in Portugal. Learned about the church with his family as a young boy. Started getting ready for a mission when he was 12 years old. Check your answers on lds.org/prophets-and-apostles. End of the article, Our Prophets and Apostles Today, read by Gabriel Reinwand.
Book of Mormon Reading Club. Join in by reading the Book of Mormon. You can read on your own, with your family, or with a friend. Then tell us about it. See page 39 to find out how. This month's scripture, 2 Nephi chapter 32, verse 3. Feast upon the words of Christ, for behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things what ye should do.
I've loved reading the Book of Mormon ever since the missionaries introduced it to us. My favorite story is in the Book of Mosiah, when King Benjamin led his people through his faith. I want to be faithful and obedient to what my parents asked me to do. Janice S., age 10, Iloilo, Philippines.
I got a blessing that said, if I read the Book of Mormon before I turned 8, I could gain a strong testimony. Now I read the scriptures every day, and I am gaining a testimony. Grayson C., age 7, Arizona, USA.
End of this month's Book of Mormon Reading Club, read by Rena Nelson, Chloe Patello, and Daniel McClellan.
Family History Quest. Fill your family tree. A family tree is a way of showing who your parents are, and who their parents are, and on. The further back you go, the bigger your tree gets. This month, write about your family in this tree. Add your tree to FamilySearch.org. After you fill out this page, log on to FamilySearch.org. At the top of the page, click on Family Tree, and then Tree. If you click on Portrait View, the chart will look more like this page. Help your parents add the information to your online tree. Don't forget to cut out your badge and add it to the Badge Keeper from January. Print past pages or extra copies of this page at friendfhq.lds.org. End of the section, Family History Quest. Fill Your Family Tree. Read by Van Farnworth.
The Present Problem. Sophie Wanted to Make Mother's Day Special. By Jane McBride. Based on a true story. Mother, I love you. Mother, I do. Children's Songbook. Sophie had a problem. Mother's Day was coming, and she wanted to give Mom a gift. Mom was going to have a baby, and she had to stay in bed so the baby could grow stronger. Sophie thought staying in bed sounded like the most boring thing in the world, so she wanted to give Mom something special to cheer her up, but she didn't have any money to buy a present. After school, Sophie went to Mom's room. She climbed up on the bed and got comfy.
Tell me about your day, Mom said.
Sophie started telling Mom about a silly poem she wrote about parrots in polka dot pants parading around the park. Then she thought of her problem. Her voice trailed off and her eyebrows scrunched up.
What's wrong?
Mom asked.
I don't have any money to buy you a present for Mother's Day,
Sophie blurted out. Mom smiled and patted Sophie's hand.
Oh, honey, the best presents come from the heart. Besides, you and Dad and the new baby are all the presents I need.
Sophie sighed. Mom was always saying stuff like that. But Sophie still wanted to get her a present. That night, Sophie knelt by her bed.
Heavenly Father, please help me think of a present I can give Mom for Mother's Day,
she prayed. In the morning, Sophie hadn't even opened her eyes yet when an idea popped into her brain. She hopped out of bed and ran to tell Dad what she wanted to do.
That's a great idea. Mom will love it.
Since it was Saturday and she didn't have school, Sophie got to work on her idea right away. She got out paper, markers, and scissors. She got out glitter glue and stickers. She used a ruler to draw a rectangle. Then she carefully cut around the edges. In her best handwriting, Sophie wrote,
This coupon is good for a hug and a kiss.
Sophie made another coupon for setting the table. She made one for picking up baby toys. She made one for washing windows. With each coupon, Sophie thought about how much she loved Mom. Soon she had a colorful stack. She wrapped them in gold paper and tied a ribbon around the bundle. On Mother's Day morning, Sophie handed the shiny package to Mom. Mom smiled as she opened the crinkly paper. Her smile got even bigger when she saw what was inside.
"Thank you, Sophie. This is the best present ever," she said, pulling Sophie into a hug.
Sophie felt warm and happy inside. Mom was right. The best presents did come from the heart.
End of the story, The Present Problem. Read by Jane Wise, Julian Judd, Chloe Patello, and Wes Nelson.
Matt and Mandy. In this month's Matt and Mandy, Mandy gets home from school and drops her backpack on the floor. She looks exhausted. Mrs. Cooper hears her come in.
"Is that you, Mandy?"
"Yeah."
"Something wrong?"
"At school, so many kids eat alone or stand by the playground alone. People aren't very friendly."
"What can you do about it?"
"Me? I try to include everyone, but I'm just one person. The student council should be doing something. JJ says her old school had a friendliness campaign that made a difference. I wish..."
"Aren't student elections coming up?"
That night, Mandy kneels by her bed to pray. The next morning, Mandy is optimistic and ready to get involved in the student elections. End of Matt and Mandy.
For older kids, brain teaser. What has to be broken before you can use it? See page 39. Dear Journal, write about something you're looking forward to. What makes it special? Secret Service, dry off the slides at the playground after it rains. Say thank you to the bus driver or custodian. Eat lunch with someone who is sitting alone. Quick quiz. The church was officially organized on April 6th, 1805, 1820, 1830, or 1844. Draw it. Draw a helicopter from a question mark. Matthew H., age 11, Florida, USA, said, "My mom asked me if I wanted to help with the Children's Hunger Project. I said yes. I spent an hour and a half packing lunches for kids who couldn't afford food. I know this is what Heavenly Father wanted me to do." End of this month's For Older Kids. Read by Bryn Tullis.
Mormon Yankees Part 2, One Shot at a Time, by Jessica Larson, based on a true story. Melbourne, Australia, 1956. "Are you part of that basketball team made of Mormon missionaries?" asked a reporter holding a camera. "We sure are," Elder Condi said. "We're the Mormon Yankees." He smiled for the camera as the reporter took a photo. What a team the mission president had assembled. Before their missions, a lot of the team members had played basketball in college. The Mormon Yankees had helped train the Australian Olympic basketball team, and now other national teams wanted to have practice games with the Mormon Yankees. And the missionaries were grateful for chances to share their testimonies. One day when they were running drills with the Russian team, an interpreter asked, "What training methods do you use?" Elder Condi hesitated. The mission president had said the elders could practice only on Saturday mornings and play games only on Wednesday nights. They were missionaries first, so they didn't train more than that. He wasn't sure what to tell the interpreter about why their team did so well. Then an idea came. "The word of wisdom," Elder Condi said. The interpreter looked confused. "We don't drink coffee, tea, or alcohol, or smoke tobacco," Elder Condi explained. At that time, lots of people drank and smoked, even athletes. When the interpreter told the Russian team what Elder Condi said, they just stared. They were amazed at how long the missionaries could play before getting tired. Because the Mormon Yankees followed the word of wisdom, their bodies were healthy and strong. "Just remember who you are," the mission president told them. "Live missionary standards. Keep mission rules. No exceptions. Remember, people are watching your example." Because basketball was pretty new in some countries, they helped the other teams understand the game better. The teams were grateful for their help. Tonight was their third practice game. Elder Condi looked at the bleachers. The stands were already filling up. He could see lots of church members and people the missionaries were teaching.
Food and fun. Thankful eating. In the Word of Wisdom, God tells us that grains and fruits are good to eat. He also reminds us to be thankful for our food. Here's a delicious way to start your day. Remember to give thanks. Makes about 9 servings. 1.5 cups rolled oats, uncooked. 1 cup chopped nuts. 1 cup dried fruit. 1/4 cup honey. 1/4 cup peanut butter. Step 1. Mix all of the ingredients together. Step 2. Flatten mixture in an 8x8 inch, 20x20 centimeter pan. Step 3. Refrigerate. Cut into bars to serve for breakfast or a snack. Word of Wisdom Blessings. Some of the blessings of living the Word of Wisdom are wisdom and knowledge. See DNC 89:19. Can you solve these brain teasers? Check answers on page 39. 2 mothers and 2 daughters went out to eat. Everyone ate 1 burger, but only 3 burgers were eaten. How is this possible? When you have me, you want to share me. But if you do share me, you don't have me. What can you hold without ever using your hands? How many months have 28 days? End of the article, Thankful Eating, read by Maya Reinwand.
What's on your mind? I'm really inspired by people who make a difference in the world, but what can I do at my age? Inspired in Indianapolis.
Dear Inspired, you are definitely not too young to help with Heavenly Father's work on earth. Here are 4 ways you really can make a difference. Good luck, the friend. Be a family history doer. Be a missionary now. Be an includer. Be a super server. What else can you do? Write down your ideas. Now pray about it and jump in. Tell the friend what you did and what happened. What's on your mind? Do you have a question about the gospel, growing up, or getting a testimony? Email us at ldschurch.org and put "What's on your mind?" in the subject line. Don't forget to include the permission statement on page 39. We're excited to hear from you. End of the article, What's on Your Mind? Read by Daniel and Miles McClellan.
The Spirit of Eliza by Jason Harvey and Shanna Davila, based on a true story. I am doing it, my family history, and the love I feel when I'm doing it is very sweet to me. Children's Songbook, page 94. Eliza smiled as she walked back to her seat. Sharing her testimony in sacrament meeting had made butterflies flutter in her stomach, but she'd also felt the Holy Ghost, and that made it worth it. After sacrament meeting, Bishop Baldry walked over to Eliza and her family.
"Thanks for sharing your testimony today, Eliza,"
the bishop said.
"It was really great."
Eliza felt her cheeks get warm.
"Thanks."
"Would you be willing to give a short talk about family history next week?"
Eliza's heart started racing.
"Eliza, you love family history,"
Dad said.
"That'd be the perfect topic for you."
"I don't know,"
Eliza said, looking down at her shoes.
"It's hard enough to say my testimony. I don't think I could stand up there and give a talk."
"That's okay,"
the bishop said.
"Let me know if you change your mind."
He smiled as he walked away. Dad patted Eliza's shoulder.
"I think you'd give a great talk about family history. If you change your mind, I could help you get ready and practice. Then maybe you wouldn't feel as nervous."
Mom nodded.
"And Heavenly Father would help you too."
Eliza thought about standing up in front of everyone. Those butterflies in her stomach started to flutter again. Then she thought about family history, and she felt more peaceful. Maybe she could give a talk next week.
"Okay, where's the bishop?"
That week, Eliza spent a long time writing her talk. She learned about the prophet Elijah. She learned how, when we get excited about doing family history, we call that feeling the Spirit of Elijah.
"My name sounds kind of like Elijah,"
she thought. She added that as a joke to begin her talk. But what if no one laughed at her joke? What if she talked too fast? What if she got tongue-tied and couldn't talk at all? Her dad helped her practice all week. He got out the broom for a pretend microphone. The first time Eliza read her talk out loud, she couldn't stop laughing at her joke. But she kept practicing until she could give her whole talk without messing up or going too fast. On Sunday, Eliza sat on the stand in the chapel. Her heart thumped as she watched the room fill up. She prayed and asked Heavenly Father to help her feel calm. After the sacrament was over, Eliza heard the bishop say her name. Her legs wobbled as she walked to the microphone. She took a deep breath.
"Hi, my name is Eliza. My talk is about family history. I was asked to give this talk because I have the spirit of Eliza. I mean, the spirit of Elijah."
People smiled, and some even laughed. The butterflies fluttered in her stomach while she spoke. But Eliza also felt the Holy Ghost helping her along. Finally, her first talk was almost over.
"I'm glad I got to share my love for family history with you. I know that when I do family history, I am helping people who died without learning about the gospel. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen."
The authors live in Alberta, Canada, and Utah, USA. What is the spirit of Elijah? An Old Testament prophet named Elijah visited Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery in the Kirtland Temple. He gave them the power to seal families in the temple. When people feel the Holy Ghost inspiring them to do family history work so their families can be sealed, we call that feeling the Spirit of Elijah. End of the story, The Spirit of Elijah, read by Margot Patello, Van Farnworth, Kristen Hawkins, Scott Christopher, and Wes Nelson.
A True Story, written by you. Bullfight, by Brody H., age 10, Missouri, USA. I live on a small cattle ranch in Missouri, USA. I have the responsibility of feeding hay to the cows during the winter and early spring, and moving them on to spring pastures. One day, we had our herd bulls in a pen, and we needed to move some cows through the pen to another pasture. Usually, the bulls are very gentle, so I didn't feel concerned. But this time, the bulls started to get anxious with the other cows nearby. Two of our biggest bulls, Oscar and Billy, weighed about 2,000 pounds, 907 kilograms, each started headbutting each other and pushing each other around. It was a bullfight. Some younger bulls were on the outside of the pen with the cows, and they came up and wanted in on the battle. I was standing nearby at a closed gate when I felt a sudden prompting to move out of the way. Just then, Oscar and Billy busted through the gate and charged out into the field right where I had been standing a few moments earlier. I knew that the Holy Ghost had prompted me to get out of the way and kept me safe from being trampled or even killed. I know that if we try to choose the right every day, we can have the Holy Ghost as our guide. He can help keep us safe from harm's way. End of the story, Bullfight, read by Enzo Patello.
For parents of little ones, you may have experienced it before. You're in the grocery store or at the park, and your children see someone in a wheelchair. They may point, ask loud questions, stare, or even act afraid. The good news is that some preparation can help your little ones and you treat everyone like the son or daughter of God that they are. Here are some ideas to help your child better interact with those who have disabilities or injuries. Show a picture of a variety of people, including people with visible disabilities. First, focus on similarities. For example, everyone is a child of God. Next, talk about differences. For example, some people need wheelchairs to get around, and others don't. Teach children that all these things make us different and unique. Be careful with the words you use. Avoid words like sick or wrong when talking about someone with a disability. Make sure your children understand that they won't catch a disability. Sing, "I'll Walk With You," Children's Songbook, pages 140 and 141. Look at pictures or watch videos of children using wheelchairs, crutches, or service animals. Explain what these are and why some people use them. Role play how to behave when you meet someone with a disability. Set an example of smiling and saying hello. If your child says something insensitive to someone, don't ignore the situation. Say something like, "I'm sorry. My child is still learning." Then encourage a short, healthy interaction between your child and the person with a disability. You can read past letters at friendfplo.lds.org. End of the article, For Parents of Little Ones, read by Dwayne Case.
Action Rhyme, I Love You More, by Jordan Wright.
I love you more than frogs love Tot.
I love you more than toes loves to paw.
I love you more than rain loves to fall.
I love you more than bugs love to crawl.
I love you more than fish love the sea.
And because you're my mommy, I know you love me.
End of the action rhyme, I Love You More, by Jordan Wright.
Read by Ocean Patello.
Everybody is beautiful. Bodies come in all colors, shapes, and sizes. All bodies are beautiful gifts from God. Look at the children below. What do all these children have in common? For example, they all have eyes. What is different? End of the article, Everybody is Beautiful. Read by Seth Tullis.
Helping on the Farm by Jennifer Maddie. The farm is busy today. Liam uses his hands to give the rabbits their food. He feels their soft fur with his fingers. Then Liam's eyes spot some tools that need to be put away. He makes sure the shovel and hammer go in the right places in the barn. Liam hears Mom calling. His ears listen. Mom is going to make breakfast. She asks Liam to crack eggs into a bowl. Liam is glad he can use his hands, eyes, and ears to help. End of Helping on the Farm by Jennifer Maddy. Read by Shannon Nelson.
Scripture Stories. Joseph Forgives His Brothers by Kim Webb Reed. Joseph was a leader in Egypt when a famine came. There wasn't much to eat. Far away, Joseph's family was hungry. They traveled to Egypt to find food. Joseph saw his brothers, but his brothers didn't recognize him. Joseph asked if their father was still alive, and they said yes. Joseph saw that his brothers had become nicer people. They took care of their younger brother, Benjamin. They cared about each other. Joseph told his brothers who he really was. They could hardly believe it. Joseph and his brothers cried with happiness. Joseph forgave them for selling him as a slave. He said God led him to Egypt to save them from the famine. I can be like Joseph. I can love my family and forgive others. Read the first half of Joseph's story in the April magazine from Genesis chapters 42 and 45. End of Scripture Stories, Joseph Forgives His Brothers, read by Kara McClellan.
Best Buddies by Lori Fuller, Church Magazines, based on a true story. Will and Anna are best friends. At recess, they play tag. Anna pushes Will's wheelchair. They chase the other kids. Will reaches his hand out to tag them. Recess is lots of fun. Sometimes it takes Will a long time to say his words, but Anna listens. She wants to hear what Will says. Will listens to Anna's silly jokes.
"What's a pirate's favorite letter?"
Anna asks. Will smiles and shakes his head.
"Arr,"
Anna says. Will laughs. He makes a pirate hook with his finger.
"What music are balloons scared of?"
"What?"
"Pop music."
Anna and Will laugh and laugh. At lunch, Anna and Will eat together. Will has a helper. She helps him eat his lunch. Anna likes to talk with her, too. Will's favorite food is peanut butter. Anna's favorite food is apples. The best food is peanut butter and apples together. Sometimes Will and Anna play after school. They like to build with blocks. Will builds tall towers. Anna builds castles. Together they build lots of fun things. Will has a hard time stacking the blocks, but he keeps trying. Anna finds red blocks for him. Red is Will's favorite color. Sometimes Will's arms move funny, but that's okay. Anna doesn't mind. Sometimes she knocks a tower over. Whoops! But Will doesn't mind. Will and Anna are best friends. They help each other. Will likes to make Anna smile. Anna likes to make Will smile. They are happy to be friends. Will is a child of God, and Anna is a child of God. God loves them. He is happy they are friends too.
End of the story, Best Buddies, read by Julian Judd, Ossian Patillo, and Daniel McClellan.